Welcome to Path to Zero, the podcast about clean energy and the journey toward a low-carbon future. Host Tucker Perkins recorded this special episode from Reuters Energy Transition North America in Houston, where he talked to business leaders and other experts at the forefront of driving climate innovation. Now, here's Tucker.
Our guest in this special episode of Path to Zero leads a company that's a great example of how innovation is addressing the challenge of decarbonization. Christy Obiaya is the CEO at Heliogen, a renewable energy technology company that combines solar thermal technology with artificial intelligence and thermal energy storage. Christy's one of the featured speakers here at Reuters North America Energy Transition. Christy, how great it is to have you here on our podcast. Thanks for coming by Path to Zero.
Thanks so much for having me, Tucker.
A neat company. You've got a great history, but let's start by talking about Heliogen. What it does, how you fit in, where are you going?
Yeah, so Heliogen is a solar energy technology company. And our whole mission is about decarbonizing industry with our innovative approach to concentrated solar thermal. And so I can tell you a bit more about that.
Let's go to solar thermal.
Yes.
It's not just solar. It's very, very focused on storage.
Exactly. It's focused on storage. And I think probably many folks who listen to your podcast are familiar with solar photovoltaic or PV. And those are the black panels that you see on people's homes, and lots of utilities have those. We are focused on a different way of harnessing the sun's energy. So concentrating solar thermal is basically using a field of mirrors, we call them heliostats, which means mirrors that track the sun, and pointing the sun's energy to the top of a tower where that energy can be absorbed in different materials that are good at retaining heat. And then that heat can be used in the form of heat itself, or steam, or adding a turbine to make power, or adding other things to make different applications. But at the end of the day, it's a technology that's actually been around for decades, and we are now enhancing it with artificial intelligence and automation and things like that.
Yeah, so very much an industrial, utility scale, commercial
absolutely,
application.
Absolutely.
Right? Not residential. Nobody's thinking about having this in their backyard.
Exactly.
And it addresses early on one of the problems, I guess, of what we'll call PV solar, which is just energy density, right? Very, very much more dense than residential PV.
Yes, absolutely. So we're all about doing this at scale, at larger scale. We get economies of scale from having, you know, more on the order of 50 megawatts, that kind of size.
Yeah, and it might be for utility, and it could be for an industry.
Absolutely. So we look at both.
It could be for prime, and it could be for backup. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Right. Awesome. Now you're kind of going into something. We've been here all day, and this is going to be the first time we really talk about artificial intelligence. But you begin now to not only lay in the benefits of a new kind of solar, but you also talk about automation, robotics, and AI. Bring all that together for us.
Yes. So basically, this chassis or this foundation of concentrated solar thermal that I just described can be enhanced further by bringing in those types of innovations. And so what we're doing at Heliogen is up-leveling what already exists. Let me tell you some of the ways that we're applying those things. Artificial intelligence. The way that we apply that is in the field of mirrors that points at the top of the tower. Historically, there would be what we call spillage, where the mirrors aren't all pointing at the right spot. And so you end up having not getting the maximum energy that you could get. Well, with a combination of cameras and mirrors that talk to each other, they have a closed loop feedback system, we can now use machine learning to improve the accuracy of the pointing. And so that's how we use artificial intelligence to improve the energy output of this type of facility. And then in terms of automation and robotics, we have a manufacturing facility in Long Beach, California, and that's where we actually assemble the mirrors. And our version of concentrated solar thermal is able to use mirrors and hardware that is smaller and able to be mass produced in a controlled environment. And this is all actually part of the knock-on positive effects of artificial intelligence closed loop tracking that we have.
And are you ultimately heating a fluid with the concentrated light?
Yeah, great question. So you could heat a fluid. So we can actually heat steam or air, but you could also heat rocks or ceramic or sand. There's all kinds of materials depending on the application. So there are use cases where if you really want to get super high temperature heat, like what would be found in a cement manufacturing process or in steel manufacturing, those would be more in the kind of 800,000 degree Celsius type heat. And that's where you need, you know, innovative materials. You need the highest capacity of heat retention. Whereas if we're looking to, say, power a turbine generator, you need to be more in the 500 degrees Celsius range. And we can use existing forms of heat storage like molten salt. And molten salt is actually a fluid. It becomes a fluid above 400 degrees Celsius that is prevalent in other CSP plants all over the world. So that's already in commercial operation.
And are you in pilot phase now, or are you, where are you in commercial development?
We're in commercialization phase. We do have a demonstration facility already deployed in California, and that was where we showed that with our technology, we could get to 1,000 degrees Celsius at that facility in California. We do now have our first couple of commercial scale contracts with the likes of Woodside Energy in Australia. They're the largest energy producer in Australia.
Which is what you announced just in the last week or so, right?
Yeah, so we announced a couple of big milestones on that project. We've had a relationship with them since early 2022 is when we signed our first contract with them. And we've had some really great progress over the last year, which exactly we just announced over the last week or two, on some big milestones that we've achieved that are advancing that project forward. And that is for a 5-megawatt power facility using our next-gen storage technology.
And what's the footprint of something like that? Is that 500 acres?
Or? Yeah, it's comparable to PV. It's on the order of magnitude of 10 acres to a megawatt kind of thing.
And why Australia? Because that's where Woodside is? Or
yeah, so our first project is actually with them, is actually in California, but they're headquartered in Australia. And they have operations all over the world, but they are looking to become one of the world's biggest producers of green hydrogen. And so that's one of the things that we're looking at together. It's providing dispatchable, reliable, low-cost power for purposes of using in hydrogen processes.
So for those of our listeners that may not understand, talk about how you use solar energy to get to green hydrogen.
Okay, great question. So first off, the thing that we start with is heat. And so you can use heat in a lot of different ways. Our most frequent ways of using heat are either retaining it as heat or using it as steam or using it to power a turbine generator. And that is our...
As opposed to some people who use generally electricity.
Exactly.
To crack hydrogen, right?
Exactly, exactly. And so instead of using electricity, we can use a combination of green power and green steam. And we can partner with an electrolyzer provider. We don't make the electrolyzer, so that's one thing that I want to make sure is clear. Our technology is in the solar energy, and then we partner with electrolyzer providers. We can work with any electrolyzer company. We have a special advantage with solid oxide electrolyzer because they can take both power and steam as inputs. And so because we're able to produce both power and steam, we have a leg up. Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Really fascinating. And you're doing some work in the desert in California for the first, I guess, hydrogen city. Is that how you refer to it?
Yeah. So we are we're partnered with the city of Lancaster, California. We have an offtake agreement for hydrogen with them. And they are at the forefront of green hydrogen for cities in the U.S., municipalities in the U.S.
And what will they use that hydrogen for?
They plan to use it for, among other things, powering their... providing fuel for their municipal green hydrogen bus fleet. So that's how our hydrogen will be used when that is up and running. So we're in the development stages of that project. And, you know, we're just really pleased to be sharing that vision with them of early stage green hydrogen in the U.S.
And because you produce power and heat, and heat can produce steam, you really do have an innovative way to make green hydrogen.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And so we're still, like any other electrolyzer company for green hydrogen, we're still splitting the water molecule. But because we can do both steam and power, that gives us kind of a unique advantage in partnering with those companies.
Really fascinating. So as you think about this, do you think more about power generation in grid utility scale, or do you think more about those hard to abate sectors like cement, steel, industrial uses?
Yeah, I think
that maybe you don't segment it. Maybe you think about all of the above.
We absolutely do segment. It's, you know, they both have their areas where it's so important to decarbonize in both areas. But they both have their benefits and their challenges. For power is an application that is generally very well understood. People get electrons, people are accustomed to thinking about renewable energy, and now the energy industry is starting to actually incentivize long-duration energy storage, which was not the case, you know, back 10 years ago. Now you actually see RFPs and contracts that have storage as a component for renewable energy, and that's where we can come in, because we can be more competitive for long-duration energy storage as compared with lithium-ion batteries. This technology is able to do that by partnering with other technologies, concentrated solar thermal plus solar PV plus thermal energy storage together makes a really strong combination, because then you can get over 80% capacity factor energy. And so power is absolutely a focus area because the growth is huge. There's an obvious need for decarbonizing. Lots of companies have made major commitments. Heat and steam is also very important, and the benefit that we have there is we can be behind the meter. So for companies, you know, you alluded to hard to abate, companies that use heat in their processes, the problem with heat is it doesn't travel well. Right. And so because of the fact that we start out as heat, we have an automatic advantage as opposed to technologies that start out as electricity and then have to heat something up and you lose energy in the process. And so there's an efficiency kind of inherent advantage in being able to start with thermal.
For your process to be, I guess, fully utilized, it's probably a minimum size. Are you at, I don't know, what's a minimum size for you?
You know, it truly depends on the location. You know, there are regional considerations in terms of, you know, what is the alternative cost of fuel that we're up against, and there's also the solar resource. But in general, for power applications, I would say 50 megawatts is kind of a sweet spot because you get to take advantage of kind of turbine efficiencies. When you go much lower than that, you end up with a lot of turbine inefficiency for right. going that small. And then on the heat or steam side, we're less constrained because we don't have a turbine. And so that's something that, you know, we can be competitive depending on where we are at lots of different sizes, including sizes as small as 10 megawatts.
Fascinating technology. What if you think about 4 or 5 or maybe 10 years out, Where does Heliogen go? Is it just more of what you're doing, or is there an iteration of that?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, because we do have next generation technology that we're working on. So the project that I mentioned with Woodside Energy, that's actually our next generation storage technology. We talked about how molten salt is already deployed in plants all over the world. China's putting up 30 plants like this as we speak. But the next generation.
Are they also using AI? And
they're not using, yeah. As far as we know, we're the only ones doing it the way that we're doing it. But in terms of kind of the foundation and the chassis of having concentrated solar thermal, those plants are going up in, you know, the likes of South Africa, Morocco, Middle East, China, Chile. There's lots of countries outside the U.S. And so I'm eager for the U.S. to get back on that train.
I was thinking about it, you know, we think about the sun being fairly static, mm-hmm. but the truth is it's moving pretty rapidly. Mm-hmm. So your panels are also moving constantly.
They sure are.
Yeah, and greatly improving the efficiency. You said earlier as much as 80% if you think about the total cycle.
Yeah, so we can achieve over 80% capacity factor, and then the efficiency gains that we get by being able to constantly be repointing is, you know, you get several percentage points of improved output from having greater accuracy.
I love this work in that we just are always learning about things you don't read a lot about in mm-hmm. the news. So congratulations. When people want to learn more about Heliogen, where would they go?
They can go to our website.
Heliogen.com.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we would welcome visitors to our demonstration facility or our manufacturing facility. We actually host analysts and investors there pretty frequently, and customers as well.
That's awesome. One of the fun things we do is we use magic. We learned from Harry Potter that people like mm-hmm. that. So we're going to hand you a magic wand, and you get to use that wand for one thing in the next year that you think would have the biggest impact regarding this conversation around the energy transformation.
Mm-hmm.
How would you use it?
I would probably use it to immediately infuse awareness of this as a solution. I think that there's a kind of an underappreciation, especially in North America, of this type of application as a solution among the toolbox of solutions for decarbonizing industry, you know, both on the behind the meter side and for utilities. I think it's a really exciting opportunity. I think it's going to be part of the future of renewable energy, and we won't get to net zero without these kinds of things being deployed. And so I would wish for everyone to kind of become aware of it and to retire old notions of what this technology was 10 years ago.
Completely agree. I think sometimes this the complexity, the enormity of the whole problem is such that people, no one can get their arms around it. And I assume you get painted in a broad brush with PV solar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is far different, completely different.
Completely different. And I'm a true believer in all of the above being necessary to hit net zero. But I do think that our solution, including partnering with PV, is going to be a really important part of that.
Our last tradition that we love is that we're going to plant a tree in the honor of your time and expertise spent with us.
Oh,
we love to do it in a national forest, but you get to pick the forest.
Oh, my gosh.
Where would it be?
National forest. There are so many beautiful forests in the Pacific Northwest. The forests that I have the most exposure to and fondness for are actually in Ohio. It would be the Memorial Park in Ohio, Memorial Forest in Ohio would probably be the one that I choose.
We'll arrange that. Thank you so
Wonderful.
Much.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Christy, thanks so much for being with us on Path to Zero. What a great story.
Thanks, Tucker.
Thank you for listening to a special edition of Path to Zero with Tucker Perkins. If you like what you've heard, subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcast app. You can email us with questions or comments to path2zero@propane.com.